it's very exciting to be part of the summer series, and really with the worship set that we had, we could just stay in that because it's pretty much a mirror of the message, which is always very exciting, but you can't leave, the doors are locked. So this summer, we're looking at some of the names and attributes of God. And in this summer series, our hope is that we will accomplish three things. One is that all of us get to know God better as he's revealed in his word, and also as he's revealed through Jesus. The other is that each of the names of God is in themselves an invitation. And that on its own is really, really powerful, because each of those names of God is an invitation to come to him. It reveals who he is and his incredible desire to see us all reconciled with him and to live full lives now, not wait till heaven. And the other one is that, the third one is that God is, as we get to know God, God reveals more of who we are. And as we get to know who we are, the invitation to from God to us becomes more alive, and we can walk in all the promises that he has given us. So that's an exciting summer series. And especially now when it seems like our world is so crazy and upside down, we really need to be able to hang on to God. And the other thing that's a reminder is theology. Everything we learn about God is for doxology. So it's for praise. So hopefully what we learn will end up in more and more praise as the worship team led us in this morning. So one of the attributes of God that has fascinated me over the past few years, and it actually sometimes makes me silent, which is a miracle, but it takes my breath away, is the utter, unrelenting kindness of God. And we sang about that this morning. As you know, our God is a covenant God. He's a God who made a covenant with us, and in the covenant, he promised his undying, utter faithfulness to us. Undying, utter faithfulness, regardless of what we do, in spite of our unfaithfulness. And the Hebrew word to describe what we sang about this morning is hesed, H-E-S-E-D. And because of this hesed, because God is hesed, he will keep all these promises to us. Now, hesed is a very rich word that's difficult to translate because it's got this incredible depth of meaning. Scriptures, different translations of scriptures translate it differently. And listen to these words. And none of them, which is so cool, none of them captures who God really is. They're translated as mercy, as goodness, as steadfast love, as loyal love, as covenant love, as loving kindness, as unwavering loyalty. That is God, and our God abounds in hesed. Our God is hesed. In Psalm 23, and we all know that Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, David concludes at the end, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Now David, he's called a man after God's own heart, but he did not lead a very exemplary life, and he was often in danger. When David wrote Psalm 23, he was actually running away from, escaping from, hiding from his own son, Absalom, who was trying to betray him. But David, in the middle of that, said, surely goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life. And actually, it's more than just follow. They pursue us. So we, if we are in God, we have God's covenant hesed, not just following us, but actually pursuing us. Try to picture that. Try to picture the God of the universe. So this is big, right? God of the universe, the God who created you, the God who knit you together in your mother's womb and calls you to himself. Not only does he do that, but then he actually follows and pursues you. He chases you down with unending. So picture this, unending, everlasting mercy, goodness, steadfastness, steadfast love, loyal love, covenant love, loving kindness, unwavering loyalty. Like, what kind of God does that? There is no other God in any religion from the earliest time till now that has a God who does that. But our Abba does. And in relation to that, yeah, we need our horn so we can beep. Just go beep, beep. In relation to that, I've also been really overwhelmed with how his kindness, God's kindness, shows us in the way he goes, and this is the wrong word, but I can't think of anything else. It's like he goes the extra mile for us all the time. He came to save us from our sins. He came to offer us new and eternal life in him. And to do that, he willingly shed his blood for us. He was crucified and he drank the cup of God's wrath for us, so that if we believe in him and follow him, we can have everlasting life starting now. Now, that in itself is mind-blowing and should really keep us on our knees, right? But there's more. There are incredible touches that demonstrate his kindness, that demonstrate who God really is. So if you look at this passage in Philippians 2, verse 6 to 8, so this is about Jesus. It says, who, being in very nature God, now look at this, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Notice how our God doesn't use being God for his own advantage. Notice how he makes himself nothing and then humbles himself. Notice how he's obedient even to the point of death. That is our God. That's the one who goes all out for us. That should lead us to doxology time after time and after time. And there's even more. I've often mentioned when I preach, because it hits me all the time, how Jesus sees, Teresa, he sees the one. Jesus sees people that everyone else overlooks, like the sick, the disabled, women, tax collectors, sinners, society's losers of that time. He sees them, but not only does he see them, he physically touches them. He touches the untouchable. He touches people who have not been touched for a long time, like lepers, or the woman who had been bleeding for 12 years. And then he goes to the sick. He lets them come to him, but he goes to them. And he hangs out with society's losers. But not only does he hang out with them, he loves them and does not see them as losers. He renames them. He recalls them. And he intentionally spends time with teaching people. And he doesn't care about time or proper etiquette or titles or degrees. And all of that shows his loving kindness. All of that shows his covenant love, his chesed. All that shows who our God is. Our God is all of those kindnesses. He himself, God himself, is the one who sees you, who touches you, who hangs out with you, who teaches and ultimately gives his life for you. God's loving kindness pursues you all the days of your life, just like the song said. His chesed, his loving kindness is all over your life. It's all over my life. And on top of that, it pursues us. Look back and see it. And if you don't see it, get someone else to help you look back. And then watch for it and listen for it. And everything we hear this summer about the names and attributes of God will all reflect this loving kindness, because he can't do anything other, because that is who he is. And that should be a big amen. Preach it, sister. Another title, a title that Jesus holds, is that of high priest. Okay? And today, I'd like to look at how this chesed, this loving kindness, is also displayed in his role as high priest. And you don't normally think of that together. So to do that, we'll do a quick review, and it's very minimal. There's so much more. A quick review of the role of the high priest in the Old Testament. And then we'll look at how Jesus fulfills that with unbelievable, incredible, loving kindness. And what you will see is there you go. I don't trust Terry. Can you tell? He's at the soundboard. What we'll see is that God's invitation to us in Jesus' role as high priest is also saturated with, it's dripping with chesed, with loving kindness. And as our high priest, Jesus most certainly extends the invitation for everyone to be reconciled to him and live full lives. Him, Terry, when the law was given on Mount Sinai. So you recall from the Old Testament, so this was around 1300 to 1200 BC, God gave the Israelites the Old Testament law on Mount Sinai. And at that time, he entered into a covenant with them, which was called the Mosaic Covenant. And that covenant way back then was a conditional covenant. There were conditions. And it was made between God and the nation of Israel. And that kind of covenant was common in ancient times. It would be between a sovereign king, in this case God, and his people or his subjects, in this case Israel. And when this covenant was made with Israel, God told them about their obligations, and they had to be obedient to the law, and the people agreed. And they entered into the covenant when they said, and listen, this is a quote, "All that the Lord has spoken, we will do." Did they? Yeah. No, they didn't. Right away, the golden calf and everything. So obviously they didn't. And almost immediately they got into all kinds of horrible sins. And any of that sin was punishable by death, according to the covenant they had just made with God. So God could have smoked them. But our God is a holy God. He cannot be with sin. So he had a right to kill them. But in his covenant mercy, he gave them an elaborate, and I don't know if it's called system, but an elaborate method of how to worship him with festivals and how to atone, how to make up for their sins with sacrifices. And the sacrifices, which for us seem barbaric, were a common practice in the day. Blood had to be shed. Blood had to be shed to atone for the sin because the life is in the blood. And God commanded that one of the tribes, one of the 12 tribes, the Levites, would be in charge of doing all that, and they were set apart, they were made holy to serve the Lord in the tabernacle and later in the temple. And these priests, so we're thinking about Jesus as priest and then high priest, these priests were responsible for interceding to God for the people by offering many sacrifices that the law required. So the people couldn't do it themselves, the priest had to do it. The shed blood, so the life is in the blood, the shed blood of these sacrificed animals pointed towards the day that the Messiah would come. And the Messiah would be the ultimate sacrifice for the people. He would be a one-time sacrifice. And when Jesus died, all of the Old Testament laws were fulfilled. Okay? Now, the role of the high priest, so there's priests and there's high priests, and Aaron was the first one, was even more significant because the high priest was the mediator, so there's a go-between for the Jews before God so that God would accept their sacrifices and offerings. And this is an artist's rendition of the tabernacle. So on the right, you see the common places, and then you can't really see it really well, but on the left up here, at the back, there's the Ark of the Covenant, the mercy seat, and there's a big heavy curtain. That back part was the Holy of Holies. And once a year, the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies to atone for the sins of the entire nation. But he was entering a holy place. God cannot be with sin. So he had to go in there as a holy person. So first, he had to make a sacrifice for himself to atone for the sins, his own sins. And then he went in behind the curtain, and this doesn't do justice, but it was a really thick curtain, into the place called the Holy of Holies, and he would atone for the sins of the entire nation by placing the blood of the perfect lamb, remember that, lamb without blemish, on the Ark of the Covenant, also called the mercy seat. And when he did that, then he atoned for the sins of the people, and they could rest easy because their sins were forgiven for the past year. But it's interesting to note, while he's doing that, and you can sort of see it there, while he's doing that, he never sat down on the job. Do you know why? Because he was never finished. There were always sins. So he couldn't sit down because it was a continual thing. And the high priest also was the one who wore the Urim and the Thummim to assist in determining the will of God. And those were like stones. When you hear them casting lots, they were like stones. So it's important for us to notice that a human high priest was the one who assisted, because they could not do it themselves, who assisted in determining the will of God. The Holy Spirit hadn't been released yet. So he assisted in finding out what does God want, and he also offered a blood sacrifice for the sins of the entire nation. And by these daily and yearly sacrifices, the sins of the people were temporarily covered until the Messiah came to take away their sins forever. The Messiah, the high priest, would usher in the new covenant. Okay, so that's the Old Testament background. Now let's look at Jesus in an abbreviated form again. Like the Levitical priests, Jesus offered a sacrifice to satisfy the law of God when he offered himself for our sins. Jesus was the perfect lamb. No other blood, not the blood of bulls and goats, made a true and lasting atonement with the Father. They couldn't, but Jesus could because he was sinless. Now, unlike the Levitical priests who had to continually offer sacrifices, Jesus only had to do it one time. Through his one-time sacrifice, he gained eternal redemption, not just for the nation of Israel anymore, but now for the nation of the world, for everyone in the world, for anyone who wanted to come to God. When the high priest made the atonement, he had to go behind the curtain and hope that he was sinless or he'd be smoked, right? When Jesus died, remember what happened with the veil? That puppy ripped in two. And that was a huge visual that our sins have once and for all been done away with. And also, so when that happened, this was the first time the Israelites could ever look into the Holy of Holies. So it was a visualization for them that we now have continuous access to the Father. We don't have to go through an earthly high priest anymore. And at his death and resurrection, Jesus became the high priest. At his death and resurrection, the entire sacrificial system and all the festivals that were required to cover the sins of the people became obsolete. Jesus fulfilled all of that, the perfect God, the perfect Lamb who took away the sins of the world. And then, if we could have the next slide. Look at this. When this priest, which is Jesus, had offered for all time one sacrifice for sin, look at what he did. Why did he sit down? It was done. When he said on the cross, "It is finished," he meant it. And with it, we have entered into the covenant, the new covenant with him. Now, to me, that goes way beyond our common understanding of kindness. But it's all hesed. And a few other things about Jesus as our high priest. Jesus, though he was God from eternity, he became a man to suffer. He became a man to suffer. Like, who'd do that? He became a man to suffer death and serve. We have a God who serves us? That's weird. We have a God who serves us, and he serves as our high priest. Look at slide 4. He says here, we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses. Jesus made himself to understand our weaknesses and temptation so that he could get what it was like for us. So we have a high priest we don't have one who is unable to empathize with our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, but without sin. Like, he did that so that we would get that and he would know what it was like. And then look at verse 16, if I could have the next slide. It's underneath it. Let us then, so because of all this, you guys, then let us approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we might receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. And to that end, I want to just read you a paragraph from Bob George's book, Classic Christianity. And just a warning, Norm's been reading this, so you're going to hear about this. The small boy, not quite 3 years old, skipped down the imposing corridors. Armed servicemen, the best of the best, took no notice of the child who ran past their assigned posts. The boy passed several staff members on his way, who likewise took little notice except for an occasional smile. Passing a secretary's desk, the little boy did not acknowledge her wave, intent as he was on his goal. In front of the door stood another armed sentry, but the guard made no movement to hinder the progress of the child who opened the door and went inside. With a grin, the boy ran across the carpet of the Oval Office and climbed into the lap of the most powerful man in the world. Influential cabinet members had to wait to continue their discussion as President John F. Kennedy and his son John exchanged good morning hugs and kisses. That is a bold approach. And that's not cocky. That's bold. That's confident of his chesed love. And there's even more. If that's not enough, there's even more. Today, Jesus continues as our high priest, interceding on our behalf at the right hand of God in heaven as our mediator. Look at how Paul puts it in Romans 8, 34. Who then is the one who condemns? This sacrifice of Jesus is done. Our sins have been forgiven. So who can condemn? The answer is?
No one.
You know why? Because Jesus Christ, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God, and he's sitting, and is also interceding for us. Isn't that amazing to think about? Right now, Jesus is at God's right hand, and he's interceding for you and for me. While Jesus' sacrifice was once for all, his mediation for us is ongoing. Aaron was the great high priest, but he didn't have access to the Father like Jesus did. And today, because of Jesus' sacrifice, God communicates through his teachings to us, through the Holy Spirit. That is unbelievable. Loving kindness. That is chesed, love. I'd like to conclude with a few verses from Hebrews. And these verses, to me, summarize what Jesus did and show, I think, to even a greater degree, his overwhelming, unending chesed, his loving kindness. So if you look at Hebrews 2, verse 14 to 18, since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity. In other words, he wanted to be like us, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. For surely it's not the angels he helps. He doesn't help the angels. He helps us, Abraham's descendants. We are Abraham's descendants in the covenant. For this reason, he was made like them, fully human in every way. Now this is what blew me away. In order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God. He already is merciful. He already is faithful. He's a covenant God. But he wanted to do that very specifically in this role as high priest so that he could make atonement for you and for me. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he's able to help us who are being tempted. So just like John, we can run to the Father's arms. That is our God. That is covenant love. So what's the invitation for us? Well, if Jesus isn't your Lord and Savior and you'd like him to be, talk to him. He's quite available. And you get all of this and so much more. The invitation is also for us to approach God with confidence. The invitation is also for us to be overwhelmed by, to look for, and to celebrate his chesed, his loving kindness to you. And as Hebrews continues, we could have slide 8. Therefore, in other words, because of all this, holy brothers and sisters, that's you, who share in the heavenly calling. We share in the heavenly calling. This is what we get to do. Fix your thoughts on Jesus, whom we acknowledge as our apostle and high priest. I mean, why wouldn't you think about that? One of the miracles of today's sermon is that there's no handout for you. But there is homework. Most of these passages have come from Hebrews. What I would really encourage you to do is read the first 10 chapters of Hebrews very carefully and notice, write down everything it says about Jesus and just be blown away. Let it lead you to doxology. Marvel at him. Marvel at his kindnesses. Those are the first 10 chapters. Chapter 11, if you'll remember, is that chapter of great faith. By faith, Abraham. By faith, Moses. By faith, this person. By faith, this person. And when you read the first 10 and you see all that and you move to the chapter of faith, you think, well, duh. Of course you'd have that kind of faith. Like, who wouldn't in that kind of Jesus? And then, if we could have Hebrews 12, okay, this is, okay. So it has to lead us to this. There's that therefore again. Since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, that's all the people mentioned in chapter 11. That's all the people that we love and who've loved the Lord that have gone before us. There are cloud of witnesses. And because of that, the writer says, let's throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us. Well, why wouldn't you when you have this amazing God? And instead of that, get rid of that junk, let's run with perseverance the race marked out for us. To run with perseverance takes community. It's good that we're back together because we need that. Let's run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let's fix our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. And look it. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. That's huge. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame. And he sat down at the right hand of God, on the throne of God.
Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you don't grow weary and lose heart. Doesn't it make sense that obviously you would do that? So since theology, worship people, since theology is for doxology, if we could have you, let's let this great high priest lead us to worship him. So I'll ask the worship team to lead us in a song or two of worship. Go for it. And if some of you would like prayer afterwards, we'd be happy to come and pray for you. And otherwise, just have an awesome day and look behind you, because you're going to see stuff pursuing you, and it's goodness and mercy.
Well, so we're really glad you're here this morning. Even though it's tempting to be out there, I kind of miss our outside services. But, you know, that's okay. We got the full band, which is fun. So, you know, the first song we chose is Hope of the Nations. And how many of you look out into the world today and see hope? Maybe not around us, but we know that we have the living hope within us. And as we believe that, that's going to sink deeper into our hearts. And as we walk in his hope, it's going to shine so bright. So would you worship this morning with us? Stand if you want. Dance if you want. Sing loud. Sing soft. However you worship, just sing with all your heart. Jesus, hope of the nations. Jesus, hope of the nations.
hope of the nations. Jesus, hope of the nations. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, we just want to recognize that you've led us all of our lives. You've been faithful. We are so thankful. As we look back over the course of our lives, we can see your hand in every detail. It's maybe not been easy for a lot of us, but we know that with you, we can do this life. We can do it. Standing on this mountaintop, looking just how far we've come, knowing that for every step you were with us. Kneeling on this battleground, seeing just how much you've done, knowing every victory is your power in us. Scars and struggles on the way, but with joy our hearts can sing. Yes, our hearts can say. Never once did we ever walk alone. Never once did you leave us on our own. You are faithful, God, you are faithful. Kneeling on this battleground, seeing just how much you've done, knowing every victory is your power in us. Scars and struggles on the way, but with joy our hearts can sing. Yes, our hearts can sing. Never once did we ever walk alone. Never once did you leave us on. Never once did we ever walk alone. Carried by your constant grace, held within your perfect peace. Never once, no, we never walked alone. Never once did we ever walk alone. Never once did you leave us on our own. You are faithful, God, you are faithful. Every step we are breathing in your grace. Evermore we'll be breathing out your grace. You are faithful, God, you are faithful.
We choose to put our faith in you this morning. Sometimes it's just a choice we have to take. That's the next step, is just making that choice to have faith. And as soon as we do that, guess what? There's joy coming. There's assurance coming. Yeah, the goodness of God. Thank you, Lord.
I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held by your hand. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness.
Come alive in us today.
Yes,
the
Lord.
Goodness of God. Mm-hmm. Because Lord, even when our circumstances don't look that good, Father God, maybe we have wayward kids. I know I do. And even though maybe there's not a lot of food on your table, maybe you're struggling to pay the next month's mortgage, maybe whatever your circumstances are, it doesn't matter, because guess what? God is good all the time. He is so, so good. And I just pray that that comes alive in you today, the goodness of God. Because our circumstances don't always look good. But we can rejoice because we have our good, good Savior who is everything and more. And we're learning about who He really is and all the names of God. And He is so much more than we could even imagine, guys. So much more. So I pray, Father, that you would come alive in us today. Lord Jesus, breathe your Holy Spirit in our spirits today. That we would walk out changed. And Father, that you would just illuminate your love in us to others. Because it's not for us. It's for you and for the people that are lost. It's the cry of our hearts, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Through the eyes of man, it seems there's so much we have lost. As we look down the road where all the prodigals have walked, and one by one, the enemy has whispered lies and led them off as slaves. But I know that you are God, yours is the victory. We know there is more to come that we may not yet see. So with the faith you've given us, we step into the valley unafraid. We call out to dry bones, come alive, come alive. We call out to dead hearts, come alive, come alive. Up out of the ashes, let us see an army. We call out to dry bones, come alive. God of endless mercy, God of unrelenting love, rescue every daughter, bring us back. dry bones come alive, come alive. We call out to dead hearts, come alive, come alive. Breath of God, breathe, oh breath of God, breathe, oh breath of God, breathe, breathe, oh breath of God, breathe, oh breath of God, breathe, oh breath of God, now breathe, breathe, oh breath of God. Breath of God, breathe, oh breath of God, now breathe, breathe, oh breath of God, breathe, oh breath of God, breathe, oh breath of God, now breathe. We call out to dry bones, come alive, come alive.
Sit. I don't know if I knew how to play my guitar standing up, I'd be standing. Yeah, Lord, you are so amazing. You are more than what we could ever imagine. Yes, Lord, come, Holy Spirit. Just breathe in this place. That we go out this week just knowing a little bit more of who you are. Thank you, Lord. Holy, holy, holy God. Holy, holy, holy. Creed.